your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who suffer the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. As always, the message is others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. This show is pre-recorded, so you will not be able to call in today, but all the shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation site. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation and can be downloaded on iTunes. Well, Heidi, how are you doing today? We're into March, right?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing well. I'm glad that spring is almost here.
Yeah, I think February and March are a tough time of year.
February is my least favorite month because the weather is cold and it's dark, and in March at least you're starting to see that spring's around the corner.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we'll get some good spring poetry for our poetry contest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we usually do. I love our poetry contest because we get such great things from everybody out there.
Yeah, and I want to remind the folks that they can go on our YouTube site now, and that you can also go to Write for Us. And also, we're still doing our University of Utah study on the radio show, and we're getting some really good response on that, aren't we, Heidi?
We are, and it's exciting to see the demographics of those that are listening so that we feel even more connected with you.
And we'll be having a preliminary report in April of what our findings are for that show, for the study, so we're very excited about it. Well, we've got a great topic today, Heidi. We've got a couple of guests. We have one, Healing Within, is going to be our topic, and our first guest is going to be Tracy Swanson, who's the executive director of The Empty Cradle, and our second guest is going to be Suzanne Toro, author of Bare Naked Bliss. Suzanne's kind of interesting because she's the one that brought us Apple the App.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a friend of the rapper Apple the App, and we played his song I Cry on our show, which honored his brother Arnell. And you might want to go back and look at that show. It's a pretty great show. So, Heidi, do you want to start out and introduce our guest today?
Sure, I'd love to. As you said, Mom, our first guest today is Tracy Swanson, and our topic for today is healing from within. Tracy Swanson is the executive director of Empty Cradle, a nonprofit support group for parents who have experienced the loss of a baby through early pregnancy loss, stillbirth, or infant death. Volunteer parents have offered emotional support, friendship, and community education since the group was organized in January 1982. Welcome to the show, Tracy.
Thank you.
Hi, Tracy. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks.
I love I love it. It's sad, but the idea of Empty Cradle, it's a really good name. It's so heart-rending there because I think of these moms that, you know, get the rooms ready and get their hearts ready for these babies that never come.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that because some people, when they hear the name, they think of it in those terms, and then other people sort of have especially parents who have just recently experienced a loss will sometimes, not have a positive reaction to the name right away either. So that's exactly what it is an empty cradle that we have to come home to. And
now you folks are located in San Diego.
Yes.
And you do peer support, right?
We do, and we actually have three different meetings in the San Diego and Temecula area. when Empty Cradle was founded, we started out with one meeting in the greater San Diego area, and we've slowly expanded up into the Temecula area as well.
And how long has the organization been in existence?
About 27 years now.
Oh, wow.
It was founded by three families who had experienced a loss and found that there was absolutely no support for them in the community and even amongst their peers, and really felt like they weren't able to talk about it, talk about their loss to anyone. So they decided they needed to do something about it, and so they formed this group, and there was, you know, a lot of response to it.
Now, I've heard that because I, you know, belong to the Compassionate Friends, and I'm on the board, and I lost a 17-year-old son years ago. But I've had people tell me that they have problems sometimes when they go to meetings where it's older children that have died, or, you know, even younger children, particularly if they've had a miscarriage or something like that. They feel that their loss is not as important, and maybe they don't have as much right to grieve. Would that sound familiar?
Yeah, we've had people talk about that. It's the loss of a child, either during pregnancy or shortly after pregnancy, is just it's a slightly different experience. Just because you didn't have time to get to know the baby here on Earth, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just as devastating, but in a different way. You're dealing with slightly different issues when you lose a baby. A lot of it is a loss of the dream that you mm-hmm. have carried with you for probably many years before you even got pregnant, and then the loss of what you had envisioned your family would look like, and the things that you had envisioned you would be doing with your children or child.
That's exactly what I was thinking, Tracy, exactly what you're saying. When I had my two miscarriages, it was the loss of my future, my entire life, because the minute you get pregnant, you've planned your whole life.
Right.
And you're projecting way ahead about what your life's going to look like, and that dream is suddenly gone. So it's
exactly.
You know, you haven't just lost the pregnancy or the infant, which is horrendous in itself, but you've lost all those years in your head of in your future, about your future.
Yeah, and it can be, you know, not only that, but it can be quite isolating because not everybody around you, your friends, your family, because they didn't get to know the child, to those people, the loss may not be as significant, whereas with an older child, they know the child, they were, you know, had a relationship with that child, and so what ends up happening with people in, that have pregnancy loss is that they end up feeling very isolated in their grief, in their, you know, people that are in the childbearing years where they're friends and acquaintances are usually getting pregnant and having babies, and so they're sort of surrounded by, you know, people that are you know, having successful experiences with pregnancy. So it can be an extremely isolating experience.
Well, and when I had my years of infertility and my miscarriages, it felt like everywhere I turned there were pregnant women.
Yeah,
because I really noticed it. It felt like the whole world was pregnant.
Yes, and it seems like it's just like it becomes so, it's like everywhere you go, mm-hmm. like what you're saying, you see pregnant people or mothers pushing babies in their strollers, and that's one of the big topics that we talk about at our meetings, you know, and how to get through that, you know.
And how do you suggest people do get through it if they're having this experience now?
Just being really gentle with themselves, maybe changing their shopping habits and, you know, giving them permission to not attend baby showers or not go out to social events that they may have just thought nothing of before. Basically, it really is a time thing, and people often will feel obligated to continue to to act, as, you know, in the same fashion that they were acting before they had the loss. And what we try to explain to people is that, you know, once you've had a loss, your life has changed, and even though other people may be waiting for you to return to how you were before, return to normal, that's not going to happen. You have a new normal. And through the grieving experience, you're finding out what your new normal is, and you need to be very gentle with yourself.
So that idea of healing from within, you really need to go in and see what you need and find your needs. Tell us how you got involved with the Empty Cradle.
I got involved with Empty Cradle about 9.5 years ago when I lost my daughter. I was having a fairly normal pregnancy, and then my water broke when I was about 21 weeks, and I was in and out of the hospital, and then I developed an infection at 24 weeks, and so I had to be induced, and my daughter was born extremely prematurely, and we were lucky that she survived for about 12 hours, and my husband and I and my family got to spend that time with her, and she also had the infection and was a very aggressive infection, so she passed after about 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very sick after I delivered her, and so there was about a month to 2 months where we were sort of just dealing with the crisis and focusing on that.
And concerned about your getting well, right?
Yes, and concerned about that. And then after about 2 months, you know, the dust sort of settled, and everybody, friends, family, you know, their life returned to normal. And then my husband and I were just left with, you know, okay, you know, we're living on a different planet now, because the life that we had planned with for ourselves and what we had thought was going to happen is not happening, and everybody else is, it seems like their life is continuing on, but ours is not. And so we decided that we would try this support group, Empty Cradle, and I remember walking in the first time and looking at there was probably about 50 people at the meeting, and so I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that this many people have experienced a pregnancy loss. And when we broke up into the sharing circles, I was so relieved to hear that all these people were thinking the same kinds of thoughts that I was thinking and feeling the same kinds of things that I was feeling.
And you weren't just crazy.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy, and I just remember feeling, you know, like I fit in somewhere, because by, you know, 2 months out from the loss, I was really feeling alone and isolated, you know, in the grief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so my husband and I continued to go to the support meetings for about a year, and it was very, very helpful for both of us.
And so your husband went along with you. That's great. I wonder, do you get as many men at your meetings as you do women?
We don't. We generally, what happens is the husbands will come for the first several meetings, and the meetings are once a month. And the women usually come for longer. They end up attending for a longer period of time. But you know, we're certainly, you know, there for both men and women, and we do address topics, you know.
And during that time, I mean, how long do these groups last? How long do people stay in them?
It really varies. It varies quite a bit depending on people's needs. And one of the things that I really try to do is help people when they come in the door. I recognize that everybody needs a little bit different type of resource. And so
that's a good point. And when we come back from break, I want to talk about how everyone does need a different type of resource, and also how you bring hope and how you help people in this healing within. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We are talking today with Tracy Swanson about healing from within. You can reach us on our blog, thegriefblog.com. And these shows are all archived on the Grief Blog, as well as our foundation site, the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned for more.
healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Hello, my name is Neil Chethick. I'm the executive editor for the Open to Hope Foundation and author of the book Father Loss, How Sons Deal with the Death of Their Dad. As editor of the foundation, it's my job to find writers for our website, writers who would like to contribute their articles, poetry, and personal stories about grief, loss, hope, and recovery. If you'd like to write for our website, please contact me. You can do that by visiting opentohope.com. and click on the category Write for Us. Then you can start bringing your words, your stories, to our fast-growing audience around the world.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us, we are talking today with Tracy Swanson, Executive Director of Empty Cradle, about healing from within. Welcome back to the show, Tracy and Gloria.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Tracy, you were talking a little bit when we went to break about, we were talking about healing and some ideas and some thoughts about what people can do. Do you have some suggestions for people who just recently lost children, or even lost them years ago, who were back revisiting it for some reason?
Well, I think the one thing that is very important for people to do is to just find something that works for them. And what I mean by that is there are many different types of resources out there for people who have experienced a loss, and support groups such as ours. There are, you know, tons of internet support groups.
And you're on the internet. They can go to your site. Do you have a blog or anything that people can connect with you?
We don't have a blog, but we do have a website. We also provide phone support with by trained resource parents. And what we do is we match callers up with parents who have experienced a similar loss.
I love that. That's great.
And then we have a newsletter, and we also have a pretty extensive lending library for parents.
Now, if I don't live in San Diego, can I get hooked up with your telephone?
Sure. Would you match me? On our website, we have people can just write in and request support, and then we'll have one of our volunteers call them back, and people can write in from wherever they're at.
Oh, that's great. I love the idea of matching, don't you, Heidi?
I absolutely do, because my experience losing, you know, having two miscarriages in my first trimester would be very different than Tracy's experience, where she delivered a baby. So, I mean, we both had a loss, but it would be a different experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that matching up idea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, talk a little bit about your ideas about memorializing the baby, and what would you mean by that?
Well, one of the things that I found really important over the 9 years since I lost my daughter is bringing her into our lives as a family since she's not here physically, bringing her spirit into our lives. And because what I've realized over all these years is that she is a part of our family, that she does hold a spot in our family, and just because she's not here.
And what is her name?
Her name is Aliana Hope.
Aliana Hope, lovely name.
And so we've, you know, every person who walks through the door of Empty Cradle and every person that I've met who has experienced a loss has their own individual creative way of memorializing and bringing their baby spirit. But what one of the things for me that I've done is, volunteered for Empty Cradle and decided that for me, the way that I parent her, since I don't get to parent her in the same way that I parent my other children, is by helping others. Mm-hmm. And I found that has been very healing for me, to help others in her, memory.
I know that when we do Compassionate Friends, I'm on the national board, we always go around the circle and everybody, we have a candle, which I always love, and we pass it around and people say, I dedicate my work to my daughter, and say who it is, or son, or whatever.
Yeah.
And, that feels good, I think, to the whole group.
Yes, and I mean, and like I said, there are little tiny things that some people have little tables in their house with a candle that they have, that they light every evening. I mean, there's just tons of different ways that people bring their children into their daily life. There are huge things that, we have one member who started a foundation, raised money to build tennis courts in Tecate, Mexico, in honor of his son, and there's just so many different ways that people can do that. And I think when people are taking action and in the memory of their child, that is very healing, and it makes them feel like they're doing something and that they're moving through the grief instead of just sitting with it.
Mm-hmm.
And for sure, when your grief is new and when your loss is new, it's very difficult, and it takes some time to get to the point where you're able to do that. But
yeah, really giving to yourself early on is the important thing, I think.
Yeah.
But some wonderful things happen in the name of these children.
Absolutely, and I've seen that. And when I first went to Empty Cradle, people told me it's going to get better. There is hope. There are things that will bring you joy. And I didn't believe them. I really didn't. And of course, now I find myself saying those things, and not as a platitude, but because I really believe it and because I've lived it, and I also tell them that I didn't believe it when anybody told me that in the beginning either, but that just for them to, that's a big reason why I continue to volunteer for Empty Cradle, is to let people know that there is hope, that there are things that you're going to feel joy about as you go on,
Right. Yeah, it's hard to believe sometimes. Heidi, have you got any thoughts? Do you have any way that you think about memorializing having miscarriages? Or?
Well, I personally, I'll be honest, I don't do any memorial because it's very different. I mean, it's interesting to lose a baby in first trimester and not know the gender or anything. However, I think about my pregnancy losses a lot more than I would have thought I did, my miscarriages. They come into my head every so often, and I know how old the kids would have been.
Yeah.
And I think about, if they were here and they would have been a lot closer to my son's age than my daughter. There's a 7-year age difference between my oldest and my youngest. My youngest is adopted because I never did go on to have any other children. But I think about if the children were living, how old they would be now, what would they be like? Would they be boys or girls? I mean, it just creeps into my mind at the strangest times.
Yes.
So it's never ending. It's kind of just something that you internalize, I think, throughout your life.
And wouldn't you say it's okay?
I find it comforting, actually.
Yeah. And how does that go for you? Because I think it's important for our audience to know it's okay, especially if people haven't had the experience. They, feel like it's not okay to think about people who have died or miscarriages or whatever. And it's really kind of, as you said, comforting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the, if you want to, you could use the word normal. I think that's the normal thing to do, and I think one of the things that happens is that especially in our society, is people aren't talking about it, you know, and so when someone does experience a miscarriage or a later loss, and they're having these thoughts, they're thinking, am I crazy for continuing to think about it? And
mm-hmm.
and it's because no one's talking about it. But what you realize is that this, you know, that it impacts everybody this way, and that people are thinking about it, but they may not be talking about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, the nice thing about having a group like Empty Cradle or a support group online or whatever you're doing to help yourself is you find out that everybody is kind of thinking the same way as you are, you know.
Mm-hmm.
These, you know, doesn't matter if you had an early pregnancy loss or a later pregnancy loss, that those, that child or those children were very important to you and that they had a spot in your life.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Well, again, how do people find your website? They just go to
emptycradle.org.
Mm-hmm. Emptycradle.org. And do you ever help people start groups in their own area? I was just thinking about that. I mean, have you ever gotten involved with that? I know, like, the Dougie Center helps people. I'm thinking you've got such a wonderful organization.
We have in the Temecula area done that, but we haven't done that in, like, anywhere other than in this greater San Diego area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's great work you're doing, isn't it, Heidi?
It's wonderful. I mean, I love the idea of the peer support group and matching people up together. It's fabulous.
I was wondering, Heidi, what would you have thought of going to a group? Would you ever have sought out a group?
If people were in the same place as I was, yes, I definitely would have. And I think that, I would think a group would have been very helpful because my situation lasted for many years.
And
sometimes it does because you've got infertility and then you're having more than one miscarriage, and it would have been wonderful to be in a place where people understood and were supportive. And like you've said today, many people don't feel supported from people that have not been there. Really, people don't understand, and they minimize it by saying stuff like, well, at least you could get pregnant, I'm sure it'll happen, you didn't know this child, you know, those kind of comments, which actually aren't helpful.
Not helpful at all.
No.
Because that child was an individual.
Right.
And
well, do you have any thing that you'd like to close the show with, Tracy? We've got to close the show now. Any just special advice for folks?
Well, I would just like to invite anybody who's experienced a loss to be gentle with themselves and look for whatever resource would be helpful to them. There's no right way to grieve. But it is a process, and it does take time, so be gentle with yourself. And I would like to encourage family and friends who know a person who has experienced a loss to also be gentle. There's nothing you don't have to say. There's nothing you can say. There's no right thing to say, but just to be there for that person and continue to support them would be
well,
great.
Thank you so much, Tracy Swanson, for being on the show.
Thanks,
and,
Tracy.
We really appreciate it and all the work that you're doing with the Empty Cradle.
Thank
well,
you.
It's time for our break, and I want to thank Tracy for being on the show. And please stay tuned for our next segment when our guest will be Suzanne Toro, and we will continue discussing healing from within. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Wood.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, my name is Beverly McManus. In 2003, my husband Steve died of cancer. It's been a tough journey, but it's been softened by being part of the Open to Hope Foundation caring community. This year, Abel Keogh, whose wife died by suicide, and I have launched the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com website. We're working hard to have timely articles and create a dialogue of support. The important thing to know is that you are not alone. We'd like to share your grief journey with you and others who have lost their partners and invite you to help us get the word out about the www.opentohopedeathofaspouse.com site. You can also reach us by going to opentohope.com and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where all of the foundation blog links can be viewed. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Naomi Edelson. Has someone close to you died? If so, So, I invite you to participate in an important new research study. I am a doctoral student at the Wright Institute conducting research on social relationships and how they might have affected your feelings about the loss. Participants who fill out the confidential 15-minute survey online will be entered into a raffle to win a $100 gift certificate to Amazon.com. If you are over 18 and want to participate, please go to www.opentohope.com and click on Foundation News. There on the research site, you will find the URL for my study. You can also contact me by phone at 415-290-0164 or by email at lossresearch@gmail.com to have questionnaires sent to you. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Hello, I'm Eric Kiffel, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator of the University of Michigan Depression Center. It gives me great pleasure to announce the publication of my autobiography, Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss, written with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley, and published by Quality of Life. Real Men Do Cry takes you on my journey of fame and fortune to unbearable pain and depression following the death of my 15-year-old son, Jeff, and gives practical information on the warning signs and risks of depression. My story ends with an uplifting message of hope and recovery. I have faith that if I have made it, you can too. You can visit my website to learn more about my book at erichippel.com and more about depression on depressioncenter.org. Thank you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're talking about healing from within, and our second guest today is Suzanne Toro. Suzanne's personal experience of pregnancy loss and seeing her husband through a course of cancer treatment has reawakened her true life purpose to be of service. She is the author of Bare Naked Bliss and host of Karma Dharma Radio. Welcome to the show, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Hi, Suzanne. It's great to have you on.
Hi. It's great to be here.
Well, Suzanne, I want to move right along because you've got quite a story, and I love your book, Bare Naked Bliss.
Thank you.
I love the cover. It's wonderful.
And I love the name.
Yeah. Bare Naked Bliss, loving from within. Well, what I really want to start with this show, because we're gonna have some music, too, because Suzanne has been a song, Loving from Within. Who sings that?
Her name is Ann Heaton. She's a musician and songwriter.
And you wrote the words?
Yes. We actually collaborated together and with one other gentleman, Ryan, who works with my friend Apple.
And you've got a lot of poetry in your book, too, Bare Naked Bliss.
Yes.
Yeah, wonderful poetry in there. So you're going to want to get this book. Then you can get it on Amazon, and we'll talk about Suzanne's websites. Before we get into that, I want to say, you know, in reading the book, I have met you, and I didn't realize that you were raped as a teenager. So I think that is kind of key to our audience out there, because you were raped as a teenager, and then you had a pretty horrendous pregnancy loss where the baby died and you had to have an abortion, right?
Correct.
And so do you think that those past experiences, those woundings, because you talk about wounding in the book, do you feel that those past experiences, because I'm wondering with our audience out there, if they've had a loss recently, but yet they had some past experiences that were making them not feel as good about themselves or as worthy, or does it all come together?
I think definitely it does. I think there are so many layers when you experience extreme trauma or tragedy that you have to go through a process, you know, step by step, and you think maybe you've moved past it, and then come to find out you have to revisit it again and look at it a little bit differently later on. And I definitely did that when I was writing this book, especially from being raped as a teenager. I started to really witness it a lot differently than I had at that moment when I was just trying to cope and get through that, you know, that trauma at that time.
Mm-hmm. And I would think that you can't help. I mean, it sounded like from the book that you really hadn't resolved that when you had your other losses.
No, definitely not, because I never had the tools to fully make peace with that, and even just the awareness. And I think finally, you know, when I lost my child, that being at that moment, especially in that abortion clinic in such shock, I was able to suddenly just see this big global view of everything that had happened. And even though I couldn't fix it right in that moment, I just had the awareness that I was going to be able to move forward and really help others by walking through what I was walking through and had walked through in the past.
And when we, after the break, I want to talk a little bit about your advice to people, but introduce your song to us, because I think it's such a healing song, and I love it. And could you tell us about that and the wording for that?
Yes, it's called Loving From Within, and when you might first listen to it, you might think it's a love song to someone else, but it's really a love song to yourself, and it's about waking up and connecting to who you are and realizing that all the love that you need and the power to heal is all within yourself, and just really reminding you to return home, and that home is just within yourself.
Wonderful thought.
I love that.
So why don't we play that now, and then we'll talk about it a little bit after we hear it. Wonderful, Suzanne. I love that, loving from within. You know, you've had a lot. Your husband had testicular cancer. You've had to have in vitro. I guess you froze the sperm and then.
Yeah, we did artificial insemination.
Yeah, artificial. That's the word I wanted. So you had that. You know, you had this traumatic experience as a kid, and I know our audience out there is feeling shaken by the things that have happened to him, and this idea of loving from within is so powerful.
And the idea that, like you said, Suzanne, all the love that you need and the power to heal is within yourself. We have that within ourselves. We don't need to look externally for that.
So, Suzanne, tell us about your journey a little bit. How did you get started? When did you finally realize that you can find this? And you know, what can our audience do if they're kind of wandering around in the desert right now, wondering?
What happened really for me was just surrendering to myself, because we can accumulate what I call a lot of baggage, and we have to suffer, and all of the listeners that have gone through tragedy right now, that's part of, you know, our life experience, and it defines who we are. And we have a choice. We can hold on to that suffering, and we can just keep it with us, like I did as a teenager with my rape. I kept it with me for a long time and let it be present in so many different aspects of my life. Or at some point, we decide, you know what, I want to transform this energy, and I want to, you know, create power and peace with it, and let myself be free of it, and either serve others with it or just let it go. And so I think at that moment, you know, when I lost my son, I just was finally like, you know what, I want to let all of this go and welcome in what I'm supposed to do with all of this suffering that I've walked through, and that's what I did.
Now, you started out with some meditation, right? Didn't your husband give you something to go to the Deepak Chopra Center?
Yes, he at that time gave me a gift to go there for a week to a course called Soul of Healing, and it was a very big gift in a sense for him to give me such the time and just to surprise me with something when I didn't really want anything. As you know, when you're feeling such grief, you usually aren't asking for anything except just trying to get the pain to calm down and not feel so numb. So he gave me that, and that started me allowing myself to really dive deeper into that surrendering process.
I like that. Surrendering is a wonderful word, because it's the time when you say, you know what, it is what it is. It happened, and there's nothing I can do about it except to try to take care of myself, I guess, the loving from within. Can you talk a little bit about the bridge? I know that that's one of your aspects that you talk about in the book, and I would suggest you get the book because Suzanne's got some wonderful ways that you can work on that inner healing. But talk about the bridge.
Yes, the bridge, as you mentioned, I did the silence was a big confidant for me, just being still with myself and not trying to react too much to the emotions that were running through me in any of these different life experiences that I've walked through. But in working with individuals as they're going through their own journey, I've realized that it's not so easy for everyone to be silent and still, especially here in North America. So the bridge is a simple concept that people can infuse in their daily life, and I even do it with my kids, is if you do those acts, they bring you to that stillness and the same side effects that you get from meditation. So the bridge just stands for being present, respecting yourself and others, inspiring yourself and others, and detaching from what you think should be. And that's the hardest thing, I think, in the healing process, is you have to let go. And
that takes some time.
That takes some time, a lot of time. And sometimes, you know, you're always going to be attached a little bit, but just trying to allow yourself to detach. And then to give of yourself. When you move into a place of service, when you move out of that place of having others care for you, when you're stable enough to do that, it's very healing. And you are in a place that's not wanting to take from others. It's not wanting to even take from yourself. And it's a beautiful healing space to be in when you give. And most people, when they're in service or go do community service, feel that connection. So I think that's a really important thing to incorporate into your life. And then the last is to exchange, have a dialogue with others, have a community of support and a community of people that inspire you and will help you grow and transform even your grief or things that, you know, feed your soul, passions that you love to do, whether you're a writer or a doctor or a lawyer, any of those things, having an exchange, a community.
I think that's so important, being around people who nurture you. And we call them, for the early grief process, Heidi and I talk sometimes about finding safe people.
Yes.
that you can grieve around, and then finding inspirational people, too. Well, Suzanne, when we come back from break, I want to talk to you a little bit about one of the aspects you have in your book about male-female energy. I think that's very interesting and also a sense of humor. So I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with the co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We're talking to Suzanne Toro about healing within. You can reach us through the blog, thegriefblog.com, and these shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, and all shows are archived on our website. Please stay tuned for that.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley. Just a reminder that Healing the Grieving Heart, Internet Radio, and thegriefblog.com are sponsored by the Open to Hope Foundation, a nonprofit web-based foundation whose mission is to help bereaved individuals cope with their pain and find hope in their future. My mom and I hope you will visit our foundation website at www.opentohope.com and become a part of our caring community.
A new child bereavement study is being conducted by a doctoral student at Seattle Pacific University. This study investigates the positive and negative personal and relationship outcomes of parents who have lost a child. These questions are based on you, your present relationship with your partner, your social support following your loss, and your personal experiences following your loss. If you have lost a child, you are invited to participate in this 20-minute survey. Participation is confidential, and you may change your mind at any time. If you think you would like to participate, please go to www.lossresearch.webs.com. Or, if you have any questions or would prefer the questionnaires be sent to you, please contact Hillary Van Horn by phone at 1-530-902-4562 or by email at hvanhorn@coh.org. Thank you for your time and consideration.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. We're talking today with Suzanne Toro, author of Bare Naked Bliss, about healing from within. Welcome back to the show, Suzanne and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Suzanne, before I get on, I wanted to talk a little bit about male, masculine, feminine energy and about a sense of humor. But before I do that, I want to let people know a little bit more about you because you are an amazing woman. And not only has she just produced this book, Bare Naked Bliss, but she has her own radio show that you can hear on the Internet. She has a great website. Can you tell us about those and how people will find them and give us the name of your show and the whole thing, Suzanne?
Yes, I have a radio show on Lifestyle Yaktivate, or yaktivate.com. It's called Karma Dharma Radio, and where all is possible. The intent for the show is to feature people doing amazing things around the world and to celebrate them, infused with music, a little bit of meditation sometimes, and just to create a dialogue to inspire others. And also, I have a website called SuzanneToro.com, and that shows the different projects I work on. I'm a creative visionary and a strategist, so it also spreads and celebrates all the amazing things, like you guys do, Open to Hope, around the world to inspire others and to allow them to connect with each other.
It's so much fun to be in service, isn't it? Getting back to the bridge, when you start doing that, it's pretty amazing.
Definitely.
And people are so great to come forward. Well, talk a little bit about this masculine, feminine energy, because people don't, we talk about how men and women grieve differently, but we don't talk about the fact that we have it in ourselves.
Yes.
And could you talk about that a little bit as far as grief goes?
Yes. As far as grief goes, when we're healing, especially in relation to a loss of someone, or even in my instance of being raped, something happens. Something's out of balance in us, and we have two forces, both the masculine and the feminine. And when we have that loss, it's really important to kind of witness what you need. Are you needing nurtured? Are you needing someone to come in and give you feminine energy to kind of bring you back in balance because you feel like that's been taken away from you? So like when I lost my son, my mother, the ability for me to be his mother was taken from me. And I really needed to be nurtured. I needed to be nurtured by my mother. I needed to be nurtured by my husband. I just needed to know that feminine energy and my ability to nurture my kids would all kind of be restored and brought back into balance. When I was raped, the masculine energy was totally violated, and I had to really, it took years for me to even understand, and probably I didn't completely understand until I went through the journey of writing this book, how important it is to not run from the energy maybe that violates you or that has been stolen from you. So if you've lost someone, maybe you've lost a son or a daughter, part of that you have to look and you're being the feminine energy or the masculine energy is being removed from you. And how can you bring it back into balance into your life?
And sometimes you have to sometimes people get too caught up in that masculine energy. You know, they want to sue everybody and they want to do this and they want to do that. And, you know, and they have to, the feminine seems to lay low, a little quieter
right.
kind of thing. So getting that balance back, I think that enough has not been said about that. I really found that very interesting thought in your book. Well, talk a little bit about having a sense of humor.
Sense of humor. Well, I think that most of our society has forgotten how to laugh and have fun. If you think of a little kid in the park and their belly laughs and how easy they just amuse themselves, somehow we've been conditioned as a society that it's just not appropriate all the time in certain places. And that is so healing. The aspect of laughter actually just does so much to your physical body, your mental body, and your spirit body. So the more that you can bring that into your healing process, the faster that you're going to feel levity and that lightness, because it's suffocating when you're down below all these emotions of loss. You can't get out. You feel like you're in a bag and you can't get out. And the laughter is just a great escape, and it really puts you in present moment awareness.
You know, they've really found that some people can just, people have done groups and stuff where people just stand and laugh.
Right.
Even though they're not, you know, feeling like laughing, and suddenly it just builds and the whole group starts laughing. And, you know, it's very interesting. I've seen this, people do this at grief groups. Very interesting.
Yeah, and there's laughter yoga classes that you can actually take where people are laughing.
Yep.
So, Suzanne, we're going to get ready to close the show in a minute, and I wanted to thank you for being on, because I just think this book, is amazing, and you're a really great person, and I hope people will go to your sites and take a look at everything you're doing. And we wanted to go out and play out the show, Loving Within, again, because Heidi and I were so impressed with that, and my goodness, if people could get that message, wouldn't it be amazing?
Yes, very amazing. Very happy, balanced world we can all live in.
Yeah. Well,
I love the idea that you have a radio show where you interview people that inspire others.
Yes.
That is so wonderful.
Thank you.
So, Suzanne, do you have anything you'd like to say to our audience out there about healing and healing from within and whatever your experience, or any closing things that you want to say for us?
Yeah, I would like to say, and it's your title, but being open to hope and open to the possibility that you will feel peaceful and you will no longer have to hurt and just feel like you're below this. Just honor yourself in this time, honor the emotions, and trust that everything you need is inside of you, and that if you don't have the power to connect with that right now, surround yourself with people like Open to Hope, friends, family, that are going to help you through this rough time, and you will make it to the other side. Just trust. That's all you have to do is trust.
Right. And again, you can lean on our hope
yes.
for you.
Thank you guys so much for being there. I think it's I have a deep gratitude for the service that you're providing for so many. So thank you.
Well, thank you for being on the show, Suzanne, and we hope to see you soon.
Yes.
Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you.
Please stay tuned again next week when our guest will be Eric Tomey, author of I Miss My Dad. Eric is a blog editor for the Open to Hope Foundation, and Gail Macy, author of Grief. This show is archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific Standard, 12 Eastern, for more of Healing the Grieving Heart. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Thank you for helping people heal from within and find hope again.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.